We got the alert of the rain at 6:30 in the morning, and the flood was really bad at 9 o'clock, and we walked through the water at 10:30 and walked out to Lester Martin's that lived on what used to be the city, the edge of the city. And we walked out there to their house, and we carried dry clothes with us so that we could put some clothes on when we got there.
Yeah, we couldn't figure out how to get into town to get over to Mom and Dad's because I think we finally went around to go in, but then when you tried to go down Highland, that was underwater, mm-hmm. and you couldn't get out going, you know, through town on 34 there, you know, across that way.
Every route you went, if you went down 9th Street, that was blocked. If you tried 7th, that was blocked. Egan Avenue had water coming over the bridge. I mean, literally, people had to come in from the old firecracker stand road and then go north on Division because you couldn't get through Campbell's. It was a big deal, you know, even out by what was Pomita at that time, where Lewis is, that was underwater.
If you're safe, good, stay put. Maybe go out and help someone who needs the help, but otherwise just stay put and let the people here at KJAM paint the pictures for you.
Yeah, there are people out there that are driving around to see some of the sites themselves.
East of where we lived, when we went across that street, it was really bad, and Bill almost fell down because he was trying to help me along, and neither one of us knew how to swim, but we hung on to each other's hands and made it through. So the further east that you went, better it got.
My wife's sister called, and she said, we can't get out of our house. They were on 7th Street, just a little bit west of the Carlmont Library. And, you know, I thought to myself, well, it can't be that bad. So I drove down there. And there was water around both sides of their house, and it was about 3 feet deep, and it was running really fast. And it was, you just couldn't get to them. And I think her husband at the time carried the kids out through that water, which was highly dangerous, but I don't know what else a person could have done because you had to get them out of there in case that house went.
We've mentioned it many times this morning, but anyone with boats, please report to the Madison Police Department. They could still use some boats to help evacuate the people of Madison. Memorial Creek, of course, is out of its banks. It has been now for several hours, continues to rise. Water is flowing over Egan Avenue. And of course, the creek itself is about a block or two now out of its banks on both sides. So people are being evacuated in Madison. If you can help out with evacuation, boats or whatever, that too would be appreciated.
There was no movement around town. There really wasn't. You know, we lived on North Blanche, and while we had the pumps going, the guy said, well, let's hop in and go kind of drive around town. This is at like 2 a.m. just to see what was happening. Well, we tried to go down by Gale. Well, it was just plumb full down there. I mean, he couldn't even get across yet. So we turned around and went back home. So wasn't much else we could do.
This was on the 3rd of July, and I had a granddaughter born on the 4th of July, and they had to weave their way to the east, I think up Division Avenue, and find ways to get to the hospital for her to be born, yes.
Well, if you live south part of Madison where the creek comes, of course, drains out of Lake Herman and goes through the city of Madison, that may be coming up. So keep advised that you may need to seek higher ground because they are concerned with the spillway. The water may go over the spillway over the road at Lake Herman State Park or Lake Herman there on Territorial Road and begin moving into Madison from that area. So if you live in South Madison, you may want to move to a shelter, higher place of ground at this point in time.
We were on 4th Street there, and that land was so low that it took that water, oh, I suppose 4 hours to 5 hours. You know, it wasn't just like up by the college or 9th Street when that wall of water came through. It was basically this water just leveled there. So my husband and I got separated a little bit. I actually had taken the kids for the walk to go get our morning rolls downtown. And by the time I got back, the fire trucks had went down 4th Street and said to evacuate.
See, now past 12 noon, the siren sounded in Madison just a couple of minutes ago. The southwest part of Madison is being asked to evacuate. Residents are being asked to evacuate the southwest part of town. where whitecaps are now coming over the spillway at Lake Herman. Once again, the residents of Southwest Madison are being told to evacuate their homes. They have whitecaps coming over the spillway, so residents are being asked to evacuate the southwest part of town.
Nearly 2,000 people have been evacuated from their homes in Madison after heavy rain forced two city creeks over their banks this morning. City officials shortly after noon turned on the city's emergency siren, effectively ordering residents in the southwest part of town to higher ground. The emergency director for Lake County, Ron Hughes, says both Memorial Creek and Silver Creek are 2 feet over flood stage.
I took off with the kids. My husband had left. He was at his parents' house, and I went to my mother's house up on 5th Street. And it was a good hour, 2 hours, before we were actually ready to locate each other, because at that time we didn't have cell phones.
You know, in today's world, you would have videos and Instagram and Facebook posts, and it's, instantly everybody would have understood the scope of what was going on.
I remember Lake Herman was at risk of breaking loose and coming through Madison. That was a big worry back then, that area out there would just bust loose and come flying through town.
They thought that the Territorial Road was going to give way and flood the whole city. I know they evacuated people in the southern part of it.
He says officials are worried about the Lake Herman spillway. He says no one has been injured and the evacuation is a precautionary measure. A spokeswoman at the Madison Police Department said residents along Memorial Creek have been taken to the city armory and the hospital. Forecasters with the National Weather Service says most of the rain has stopped, but the runoff prompted a flash flood warning for southeast South Dakota.
There was some concern that in regards to Lake Herman, the east side of Lake Herman where the road is holds the water back, there was concern that that road might wash out and that would send a lot of water down through the south part of Madison, especially to the Bethel Home area. And we kept tabs on that almost constantly as to, with county officials and whomever else, that make sure that didn't happen and make sure that we had enough time to move the residents in, if necessary. The Weather Service, they tried to get into it, and they were reporting that there were major problems with Lake Herman, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We were watching it, the county was watching it, the city was watching it. We were keeping very good tabs on it. We had very good information coming in locally, but Sioux Falls kind of screwed it up.
My phone rang, and it was Rod. It was Ron Hughes, our emergency management director, telling me that the spillway on Territorial Road was eroding from underneath, and he said if that spillway breaks open. And he said Bethel and everything south, Gale and everything on the south end of Madison would be hit with an 8-foot-high wall of water in 30 minutes. So his question to me was, do you want to stay or do you want to evacuate? I hung up the phone and I thought, okay, we never evacuated before. So we had tabletop exercises with Evergreen Terrace Healthcare Center, which is now Madison Care and Rehab, and the Madison Community Hospital. We had done exercises on paper, but this was the real thing. So I pulled in all my management people were here on a Saturday morning at 7:30. I said, I think we need to prepare to leave.
And he was concerned that they might have to move the residents, or at least some of them. And he was concerned that he couldn't find enough vehicles to move this mass amount of people.
John Goldman was on the air all the time. And the radio was on behind me, and I heard that. So I called the radio station. I said, we need help. If we're going to evacuate, we need cars, bus, vans, something. I'll get you John right away. Next thing, John was on air.
We understand that they're still looking for people to help take the people out of Bethel Home. They still need some bodies down there and some vans. Something that they can put the older people in and move them to a different area, Jeff.
10 minutes later, my maintenance supervisor, Henry Musel, called me from the back of the home and he said, tell them we're done. Call them off. He said, we got like 40 to 50 vehicles here, and that's within 10 minutes. And I got back on the air with John, and I said, we got all the help we need. And I was completely humbled and amazed by it in 10 minutes. These are people in our community. Their basements themselves were flooded. They had left their flooded homes and everything to come in within 10 minutes with a Jeep or a van or a pickup or whatever. And we loaded medication carts, we lifted supplies, wheelchairs, walkers, helped with residents. And by noon, we were in the armory.
If I didn't at the time, I want to send out thanks to the staff of KJM at that time. They did a marvelous job. Peg was on the air, I remember, half the night. Hadn't slept for a long, long time, but everyone pulled together, and the radio station did a wonderful job for the community. In fact, KJM was awarded Beyond the Call Award from the American Red Cross. It was given in recognition for providing the public an emergency communications link during the big flood of 93. An employee of Northwestern Bell, or Bell Telephone, whatever it was at that time, pulled up in front of the station, and he said, "John, is there anything you need? Do you need a generator, or is there anything Bell Telephone can help you with, manpower, whatever?" And I said, "No, we're doing great." And he said, if it's mandatory, we keep this radio station on the air. The whole staff operated around the clock, too. There was a great camaraderie among the staff members here, and they all pulled together, and they knew they had to get this information out.
This is Looking Back, the Flood of 1993. It was difficult to get to KJAM on July the 3rd of 93. Not just KJAM, but every business in town, as Dean Garrels explains.
It was quite a challenge just to get there. I remember Jeff Anderson was on the air that morning, and I believe the phone lines, the phone lines couldn't have been out, but it was, he didn't even hang up the phone. He would just push the receiver down, and then the next call would automatically be on there. You know, people were asking, where do I get sump pumps? What do I do about water heaters? How do I get some help? You know, it was almost like a switchboard in the old times, where you had somebody just answering the phone there, and it was. And I don't know how he was getting that done and being on the air at the same time. And
we decided to triage our 59 residents, and 9 of our most ill residents we called the hospital. They would take our 9 folks. 10 of our folks would be going to Evergreen Terrace Healthcare Center, and they would take those. That left us 40 residents to the shelter. So we had just opened our whole renovated facility in April of 93. We had a new chapel, new therapy program, expanded the dining room, new front entrance, and now people were envisioning everything under 8 feet of floodwater. The eerie feeling, though, was when I had to, along with Ron Hughes and the National Guard was there, when we completely emptied Bethel Lutheran Home and I locked the door. And the power was dead to it. I mean, I couldn't believe, since it was open in 62 and now in 93 it's totally empty. And we didn't open it again and come back until late that Sunday afternoon. And by 6 o'clock Sunday night, our residents were eating homemade beef stew. Everyone's back in the dining room. Everybody, they were safe. We had no injuries, nothing wrong. But one of our residents came up to me and she said, "You know, Jim, that was really fun. Can we do that again?"
To the west of us, there was a house that is no longer there that was flooding. They brought in a payloader to try and take the people out.
I walked down to the corner of, it'd be like South Lincoln, and I don't know, the cross street, 3rd Street probably, and I was standing there, and there was a payloader that drove by to go get somebody out of the second story window of a house that was located, you know, basically kind of by the insurance agency and the dentist office downtown.
Yes, we were able to check out some of the evacuation efforts, the rescue efforts, actually, over near Washington 34 intersection. where they had a front loader trying to move people out of the homes there, and the front loader got stuck and almost tipped over. They had to bring another one in there to try to get it out.
Wow.
The people were stuck in the bucket there for a considerable amount of time. And
an attempt late Saturday morning to rescue some unidentified residents on Northwest 3rd Street in Madison from the overflowing Memorial Creek.
In the meantime, the payloader basically sunk.
Was successful, although one payloader was stuck in the process.
So that sat there for a while until they were able to come and get that out.
A payloader owned by Orville Johnson and Sons of Madison was stuck in the process of removing the people from floodwaters in their home. The people were evacuated with the help of a jet ski. It took a couple of people away, and another loader was brought in, and it went across to a person's yard, and they had to take out a security fence to get the people out of there. But the rescue attempt was successful this morning, although a payloader was stuck in the process.
It was pretty close. Closer than I should have been. I was standing about knee-deep water, and that thing come by, and, you know, the wave from the big piece of equipment, the payloader driving through there, almost knocked me over. So
if we don't get too close, because there are always problems with people getting washed away with the current as well, thinking they can wade in.
We've had that happen up in Brookings, too. We've had people just walking and jogging down streets being washed away.
Almost in every case in situations like this, there are a couple of people that find themselves in danger in situations like that.
Vehicle of some sort got stuck in the bridge underneath, right behind where Alvarquero's is now.
Used to be a Second Street Diner. I think a vehicle that was sitting near the creek probably got swept into the creek, and then it kind of wedged there. So that created a big issue, because there was, how many millions of cubic feet going through there?
And then when, it was later discovered that 57 Ford pickup across from the Presbyterian Church had washed into the creek, plugging part of the bridge. And I can remember seeing the water come way up over the top of that bridge, with tremendous amounts of force.
All the time, and it just kind of brought it up over the top and really made it spread out. And that's where I think places like Camp Supply and stuff like that, they really had some water issues.
The amount of water we had, it would have flooded, I think, whether that car was there or not. It might have just spread it the way that it went is all.
A friend of mine from the station stopped over at the house and was talking about the epic proportions of the flood that it was, and we went down and looked at the Silver Creek that was running through town by the Second Street Diner at the time, which is Alvarquero's now, and through the dentist office area, and it was a raging river right in the middle of Madison.
Our Lake County chapter of the Red Cross, remember I'm president now, two of our volunteers who are nationally trained disaster volunteers, Bob Blum, who's still here in Madison, and Leslie Schaefer, they were trying to get my attention, so I told Hughes, I'll get back to you. And I hung up the phone, and I looked at them, and I said, what do you guys want? And they said, we've assessed the town, Lake Herman and Madison, and we have a level 5 disaster, and we feel you should call in the National American Red Cross.
Lake County has been declared a national disaster area, by the American Red Cross. Bob Blum of the Lake County Red Cross says that Jerry Grant of the South Dakota Service Office is in Madison to assess the situation. Blum said the most immediate need for the Red Cross is money. The Lake County Red Cross is providing food, shelter, and clothing needs for flood victims. If you would be interested in helping the Red Cross, the Red Cross chapter located at 321 North Egan.
Because we need to open a shelter. We need assistance with food and everything else.
The Downtown Armory is available for emergency shelter. If you need emergency shelter, the Downtown Armory is available.
Madison residents displaced because of the flooding and need a place to stay should report to the Madison Armory. Officials are trying to get a handle on the number of people who need shelter. People, if you're in need of food today, which could be likely, there's a feeding station set up for the flood workers in the basement of the public safety building. Flood workers can pick up food for your groups and then take it with you. Also, if anyone would like to donate food for flood workers, you can drop it off at the public safety building. If you want to donate food, we ask that you wrap up sandwiches, things like that that are easily movable. Canned pop works good. Things like that, okay? Don't bring down a pot roast or something like that. I need prepared food. Sandwiches, pop is probably the ideal food to donate.
John Sweet called, and Madison High School is likewise open for shelter. So Madison High School, as well as the downtown Armory, are both open for shelter for those that need to seek a place of higher ground or shelter to get out of their homes.
The governor's office, and I don't remember what capacity, the emergency management office at the courthouse, and the governor's office was looking to help in any way they could, and everybody was putting their 2 cents worth in about what was needed.
Well, the Lake County Commission has requested an emergency declaration for Lake County due to the severe flooding causing a threat to life and property. Lake County Civil Defense Director Ron Hughes explains that.
That emergency declaration means that we have exhausted our resources for monetary involvement so that we can make a request to the state and request National Guard units and equipment from them.
In response to the flooding and the power outage in the city of Madison, National Guard soldiers have been called out to assist, and that Governor Walter D. Miller has directed Major General Harold J. Secor, the Guard's Adjutant General, to activate Guard soldiers to move equipment to Madison and to assist with security. These 15 soldiers are moving 4 generators and 5 water trailers to the city and will also help local law enforcement officials deter looting of those houses that have been evacuated around Lake Herman. And General Secor says that the Guard is on state emergency duty at Madison to assist the community with functions that exceed the capabilities of the local government.
I guess what I'll always remember, even 25 years later, was how this loving community, they came to the shelter, they helped lead Sunday worship services. One of our prominent leaders in Madison, Jerry Prostrello, Sunday morning came down and he was on one knee with holding a bowl of oatmeal, helping feed a resident breakfast, the oatmeal we got from one of the restaurants. I mean, this whole community, not just towards Bethel, but for years after the flood, this community reacted in a very warm way and still does to this day. I mean, it really changed how people's impact and insights from Madison since that flood. But what it did for this community was awesome. We started to, I think, care a little bit more about each other. We realized how people cared about us, who they didn't know. It helped, I think, the Interlakes Area United Way. It helped with the food pantry. I think we started to think about how we could help one another. And I think overall it benefited our community. We're better because of that flood.